Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Joe Beninati. You're listening to NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face Off podcast. Here's your host, JJ Regan.
Welcome into another edition of the NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face-Off podcast. I'm your host, the Capitals correspondent, J.J. Regan. With me today, he's the Capitals insider. He is the Max to my Grinch. He is Tark El-Bashir. Tark?
I have no idea what you're talking about. I mean, I know who the Grinch is, but I have no idea who Max
is. You know who Max is?
No.
What we will talk about today, we're going to talk about how and why the Caps have turned things around over the past month. And we are going to talk about what the return of TJ Oshie will mean for the team's lineup.
Well, you're not going to tell me what Max is? Or who Max is?
You seriously don't know who Max is? Max is the dog. His dog.
Oh.
The Grinch's dog.
I didn't know the Grinch had a dog. I do now.
You didn't know the Grinch had a dog. Okay. Yes, he has a dog and his name is Max.
Sorry, a guy named El-Bashir isn't up on all the Christmas stuff.
Well... What do you do to celebrate the holidays? Do you do anything?
I do nothing.
You do nothing. You have two young children. You do nothing.
Well, we celebrate Christmas.
Okay.
My wife celebrates Christmas. Mm-hmm. I pay for a lot of stuff.
Well, yes, we all celebrate that tradition. On Tuesday, the Capitals defeated the Colorado Avalanche 5-2, a stark contrast to the last time these two teams met on November 16th. The Caps lost that game 6-2 in Colorado. One night after another bad loss to Nashville. Since that time, the Caps have gone 9-3-0 and have not lost consecutive games. Now, that first Colorado game feels like a turning point for the season. After the win over the Avalanche, it was clear the 6-2 loss weighed heavily on the minds of the team.
We got our butts kicked in Colorado, so good response game for sure. Pretty solid effort from the guys tonight, and Holtz was good, and good team defense against their top line, and found some scoring.
I guess we do better at this altitude than over there, but yeah, it was a tough point of the season for us, and it's been going pretty good since then.
You have a pretty prideful group that wants to respond. We didn't have our best game last night, and you know, these guys handed us our lunch last time, so I think they wanted to have a good response. I think we had a good plan going in, and I thought it was a real good team win.
That, of course, was Matt Niskanen and John Carlson and Barry Trotz talking about the last time these two teams met and what it meant for this game. Tark, the Caps look like a completely different team from when they first played the Avalanche. So how have they managed to turn things around?
Well, I think a number of things happened. I think there was kind of a reckoning after that game. That was the low point of the season. And, you know, whether it's sports or life or a relationship, sometimes you have to get to that bottom place where you can't really go any further before you realize that, hey, something's got to change. We've got to talk about stuff that's been brushed under the carpet. We got to air some stuff out. We need to get on the same page. And I think that happened after that Colorado game. I think there was a lot of airing of grievances and things that just hadn't been discussed or
another holiday tradition, the airing of grievances,
yeah,
for,
yeah,
Festivus.
Right. that reference I get. Yeah. So, you know, I think a lot of that had to happen. I think Barry Trotz, as he said in his own words, he laid his cards on the table, which, you know, to me, is a coach going, guys, listen, I might be in the last year of my contract, but here's how it's going to be. And, you know, Trotz told me that, you know, when you, as a coach, put your cards on the table, especially when you're in the position he's in, one of two things happen. Either the team goes, yeah, we're done with this guy, or the team goes, you know what, he's right. we aren't doing everything that we could be doing. And fortunately for him and fortunately for the Capitals, it was the latter. And the team has not been the same ever since, in a good way. They have completely turned things around. I would say their practices have more energy and more focus and more intensity. Their games clearly have been better. The star players have been better. The role players have kind of found their roles and are embracing their roles and are no longer just kind of, you know, doing enough to get from day to day, but they're actually becoming contributing professionals, especially the younger players. And you know, I think in every season you can point probably to two or three moments, game stretches that were kind of turning points. And I think this was the first big one in the 2017-18 season for this team. There probably will be another one. There might be a third, but that was the first, was bottoming out in Colorado. Trotz kind of having his come to Jesus moment with the team, and the team rallying around that, rallying around him and around themselves, as opposed to kind of fracturing and falling apart. And they've just been a different group ever since. And I mean, with the way they're playing and the way they're building their game, I mean, they're getting better, you know, with every game. And I think that if they can stay relatively healthy, I think you're seeing a team that is going to be solidly in the playoffs and might be a threat to do some damage in the postseason.
All right, Tarek, so I wrote down four things that I think specifically have helped them turn things around. First, and the thing that we've talked about the most are the line changes. Shuffled up the lines, Nicholas Backstrom back with Alex Ovechkin, that had instant results.
Yep.
DJ Oshie and Evgeny Kuznetsov and Jacob Vrana, that line has played well. The bottom six has played much better. Brett Connolly is scoring goals. So I put down, I think the line changes probably top of that list. How about the penalty kill? Penalty kill has been tremendous of late. 18 straight kills for that penalty kill. They've been great. And they struggle at the beginning, very beginning of the season. But the one constant for them, they would let in an early goal and it would be ugly and their numbers would be down. But then whenever it was a critical moment, if they're nursing a one-goal lead or if it's a tie game, they would always kill it. So you knew there was probably some improvement that could happen there, because when it mattered, they could always buckle down and kill off the penalty.
I don't think the PK. I do agree with you with the point you're making. Absolutely, the penalty kill over the last 10 games, it's killed 23 or 24 shorthanded situations. It's been outstanding. It's been the backbone of the team. I think if you kind of tie it into what I was saying about kind of the team finding itself, the team is skating now. The players are, they aren't taking as many penalties. They aren't taking as many hooking and holdings and stick fouls that you take when you're just kind of sitting there waiting for something to happen, as opposed to imposing your will on the game and skating and engaging opposing players, as opposed to, you know, reaching out with their stick and hooking them. And so the fact that their penalties have declined because they're playing better and because they're playing with more confidence. Look, when you're killing off two penalties a night, three penalties a night, you're okay. When you start getting around 4, 5, 6, that's when you start getting into trouble.
Yeah.
And you know what? When you're only taking two and they're not lazy penalties where guys on the bench kind of roll their eyes after they're taken, you know, you're a professional as a penalty killer and you want to go out there and you want to kill the penalty. But when it's a penalty of effort and not a penalty of laziness, guys are a little more inclined to keep that skate on the ice when that shot's coming at them. They're more inclined to block a shot rather than just get hit by the puck. And I think that's what you're seeing here. I mean, there were some X's and O's tweaks, and Trotz has talked about it. I mean, they are forcing the issue more in certain places and being less aggressive in other places. They've found some personnel that they can trust. But I think it kind of all ties back into this team is playing harder now. They're playing harder and with more consistency on a night-to-night basis. And part of that is they're taking fewer penalties.
That's two things on my list. Number three, Braden Holtby has been fantastic of late. He wasn't bad at the start of the season, but I think it's been another level the last few games, the last month, for sure.
Agreed.
And number four, they're getting healthy again.
Yeah.
Matt Niskanen made his return on that road trip. I'm not saying that he wasn't, it was too early, but he was still getting his game speed back. He wasn't the Matt Niskanen that he has been of late. They had injuries to Brett Connolly. I mean, this team is finally getting healthy again. It's a completely different roster than it was back in the first time they played Colorado. So I think those are the four big things for me that have seen this team rise over the past month.
I'd throw a couple more things in there. They're getting back to the more to the four line mentality that they've had in the past couple of years. And the only thing that's allowed them to do that is the bottom six is starting to contribute more. And when you start getting that balanced production, when you can throw out all four lines against any opposing line, and you can trust, you've got trust, the coach has trust in all four forward combos. I mean, what that does is that takes pressure and wear and tear off the top guys. You no longer have to play 8 and 19 and 77, 22 minutes a night and, you know, start putting them out over the boards every other shift or every third shift. You can, they can actually catch their breath, you know, and what that does is over the course of a stretch of games, you're reducing the wear and tear and the compounding of minutes and hits and everything that kind of eventually wears guys down. It allows guys to stay fresh. And, you know, at the start of the year, and, you know, when you were talking about the injury guys, you didn't mention Andre Burakovsky. He hasn't really gotten on track yet, but you can see it's coming. I think at some point here soon, the way he's skating, I think he's going to start putting up some numbers. At the start of the season, Trott said something along the lines of, we need Connolly to replace Williams. We need Berkey to replace Johansson. We need Verana to replace Berkey. And it kind of went that way. And, this was a direct quote. And we need Tom Wilson just to get into double digits. Well, a lot of these guys are now starting to get on track.
Right.
You know, Connolly's, you know, probably on pace for 20 goals, somewhere in that range right now. Verana's on pace for 24 goals. Wilson's on pace for a career high 14 goals and 30 assists for 40-something points. So the guys they needed to come of age and start producing like, you know, mid to upper tier NHL players are starting to do that. And, you know, still the hardest thing to do in hockey is score goals. And the thing you have to do consistently to win games is score goals. And so they're starting to get more contribution from throughout the lineup. I mean, you know, we haven't even mentioned Alex Ovechkin, who's having, you know, not a career year, but a year that we haven't seen from him in a little while. So,
right.
You add all the things, those things together, and the fact that Bowie and Juice were kind of, pushed a little harder than they probably wanted them to be while Niskanen was out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were kind of thrown into the fire a little bit. And so they are right now in mid-December, where the Capitals kind of projected them to be in mid-January and in February. So they have more options. I mean, these guys are playing well. And, you know, Chandler Stevenson has been a bit of a revelation as well. I mean, his production has kind of tailed off a little bit, but you know, he does a lot of the other little things that are allowing him to stay in the lineup and be a productive player. Devontae Smith-Pelly is chipping in with, you know, good play on the penalty kill, but also every once in a while, he's got a sneaky way of when you start going, hey, where's 25? Oh, there he is. And he has a primary assist on a goal. And it's right. Like, oh, that's all he needed. So I think that this team is really starting to find its game. Guys are finding where they fit. I think anyone who thought this team was going to start off the season the way they've started off the previous 2 years was just mistaken. And I think they might even be a little ahead of where even I projected them to be right now. I didn't think they were capable of going on an 8 wins and 10 game stretch just yet. I thought maybe they would find that in the second half of the season, but the fact that they found it in early to mid December, I think it bodes well for where this group is going to finish up.
For sure, and we're going to talk more about their healthy lineup right after a word from our sponsor.
Look around; you can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.
Welcome back. Tarik Oshie's pending return from an upper body injury will mean the Caps are finally healthy. It also means shifting the lines yet again. If we assume that Oshie moves back into his spot on the second line, what does that mean for the bottom six? And who do you think will ultimately be the healthy scratch?
Yeah, I think Oshie probably hopes he can play Saturday against Anaheim. That's a pretty heavy, big, physical team. I know that they're a little down on some – they've got some injured guys right now. But I'm starting to think that Tuesday in Dallas is probably a better spot for him to return. That'll give him a couple more days to kind of get another practice in,
right.
assuming he does practice tomorrow with the team.
Right. They do want him to get one good practice in before the game. So at earliest, we're talking Saturday.
Would be Saturday. Right? That'll be the earliest if he does indeed practice tomorrow at Kettler with the team. Personally, I'd probably put him in Tuesday because let's be honest. I mean, what we've seen with Oshie, the few years he's been here, he's a guy who kind of tends to try to push himself and come back maybe a little earlier than he needs to.
He does not do anything 50%. He goes 100%.
Yeah.
At all times.
I mean, just look at the way he comes off the ice after warm-ups in a game. I mean, he literally sprints off the ice.
Almost knocked Trotz over.
Yeah, you're right. He doesn't have a off button. So when he comes back, I would assume he'd pick right back up right wing on the second line. What that does is it's going to create more competition. I mean, for the first time all season, assuming no one else gets hurt, you're going to have 13 NHL caliber forwards who are going to be pressing for ice time, which is good for the team. It's not going to be good for the nerves of the guys who might be sitting out,
right?
But it's going to be good for the team because now all of a sudden, if you're DSP or you are Chandler Stephenson or Andre Burakovsky or Jake Varon, I mean, now you know that you can't afford to have two bad shifts in a row, much less a bad game or two in a row.
Right.
Because you've got someone up in the press box who, you know, just put down his box of popcorn and said, this might be my chance. So I think it's good for the team. I would say if let's just say he's ready to go on Tuesday and no one else gets hurt, I would have to think, based on what we're seeing here right now, Stephenson would be first in line to come out.
Right.
Simply because, you know, here's a guy who has, you know, certainly proven that he can be an NHL player here in a short amount of time after, you know, doing absolutely nothing in training camp and getting waived. I'm not sure I've ever seen a redemption story in such a short amount of time. It's great for him. He's a good kid. He skates like an NHL player. Plays a very smart game. You know, he's racking up assists, man. I'm looking at the stats right now. He's got assists in three games going into the Boston game. So, like I said, it's hard. I mean, yeah. Connolly scoring goals. Beagle had a big goal the other night. Like I said, Smith-Pelly, you know, is contributing. On special teams as a penalty killer and on that fourth line. Verana is, you know, doing his thing. Chason is, you know, a guy who, you know, probably needs to produce a little bit more. But every time you, like DSP, every time you look down, you're
every
like,
time.
Hey, 39 hasn't done a, and he'll snipe one and, yeah. or he'll have a big shift or do something. But, you know, the fact that he was put up on the second line and kind of just jump past some people lets me think that the coaching staff thinks pretty highly of him, at least thinks more of him than maybe some other people. Who play a very similar style. So I would think that it'd be hard to go from second line to out. That just seems like a pretty far way to fall. So I'm just looking at the fourth line here, and I would say Stephenson, given the fact that he's, you know, the younger, a younger player, doesn't do, you know, isn't indoctrinated on special teams the way like a DSP is. Connolly doesn't either, but he's playing well. I don't know. It's gonna be tough, and that's a good problem for Barry Trotz. Like I said, the players aren't gonna like it, but it's good. Internal competition is good.
We've seen players plug into a line for a one game basis or something like that. The fact that Chason has stuck in that second line since TJ Oshie has been out suggests to me that he's not going to be their top choice for coming out as the healthy scratch. I know he is the fans' top choice because they let me know about it all the time. Clearly, Barry Trotz likes Chason's versatility. I think that's the biggest asset that he brings to the table is that he's versatile. He can play on the second line. He can play on the fourth line. He, you know, as you said, he needs to produce more. There are games where he's can be a bit invisible. He would probably be my first choice to be.
He does have four goals.
He would be my first choice to be the healthy scratch, but I don't think that's it. But if you're asking me who will be the healthy scratch, I think you're right. I think it's going to be Chandler Stephenson. He's going to be Chaseon will move down to the fourth line. I don't think
Stevenson's got more points than Chaseon. He's got fewer goals, but he's got more points. He's also a plus nine.
As I said, I wouldn't
second highest plus minus on the team behind Matt Niskanen.
I would not take Chandler Stephenson out
plus
for Chaseon.
Nine. I know. I think
that's what's going to happen. Yeah. But the good news is when you have a situation like this, I think you're going to see – I don't think you're going to see Chandler Stephenson be out for the next 10 games until there's an injury. I think it's going to be one or two games, and then somebody else comes out, and then they sort of rotate that one healthy scratch. I don't think they're going to mess with the third line for now. I think they want to see Andre Burakovsky get things together with a line that he has chemistry with. So I think you see Chaseon on the fourth line. And then Stevenson is the healthy scratch, but I think that will be a temporary situation. Guys, we didn't get to the mailbag today, but if you want to have your questions read and answered on the next podcast, you can send it to capitalsfaceoff@gmail.com. If you like the podcast, you can subscribe anywhere podcasts are available, and be sure to give us a good rating and review. Those things really do matter to help spread the word about the show. We are up to 35 ratings, so we really appreciate that, except for the one person who gave us one star. We have 34 five-star ratings and then one outlier.
That was a mistake. He tried to hit five.
Yes,
and
clearly.
Accidentally.
Either that or it was my wife. But anyway, thank you for everyone who gave us a rating and a review. If you have not, please take the time to do that. It really does help out. If you like the podcast, please give us a shout out. It really does help. People do see that, and it helps spread the word. And if you like this podcast, there is a second Capitals podcast from NBC Sports Washington. It is the Capitals Extra. You can listen to it the morning after every game. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Google Play. It is Rob Kylan, Alan May, sometimes the producer Ryan Billy, sometimes Tarek himself jumps into the fun. They break down what happened in the Capitals game. It is a great breakdown, great analysis of every single Capitals game, so be sure to check that out. Guys, as always, thanks for tuning in. For the Grinchy Tarek El-Bashir, this is JJ Regan. Now let's get the puck out of here.